And here we go. Welcome in to another edition of Bucky and BK. Today is Wednesday, June 10th, 2026. And the Buck and I are with y'all for the next 2 hours. On today's show, our Longhorns insider, Chip Brown of Horns 24/7, is going to join us momentarily to talk Texas baseball, Texas softball, and a little Longhorn football as well. Speaking of football, the World Cup starts tomorrow.
Yeah, man.
Football guests coming on the show later today to preview USA, 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 and the rest of the World Cup draw. We've got some Longhorn football conversation to get into. Of course, game 4 of the NBA Finals coming up tonight. Little Stanley Cup final conversation. And of course, the BBK news and why today's not so bad. Before we get out of here, appreciate y'all spending some time with us on a Wednesday. It is a jam-packed hump day program. How are you today, my man?
I'm doing good, man. It is the morning has been warm, to say the least. The humidity's up. We've got a couple days here, folks, with some real humid weather. You know, a lot of feels like, you know, it was going to be in the 90s, but it feels like just north of 100 degrees. And on Sunday, close to feels like 105 on Sunday. So after you churchgoers get out, when you get out of church, it is going to be humid and it's going to feel like 105, which it will be 105 because it's nasty. It really is. I said the moisture we got here in that tiny hamlet of Dripping Springs, we had a downpour, BK, that lasted only probably about, I said 15 minutes. It was less than that, but it was like, I swear there was hail going on. The winds were blowing and it was gone. I mean, but it was coming down. I mean, it was like a river going down with my side street here. And so it's been like that every other day in certain areas of the Austin area. So it looks like it's going to be that way. We'll start into that a little bit this weekend. And then they say we're having a cool weather spell here, 88 degrees next week, eight in the high 80s. Cool. That's a cool down, I guess. But all over the Northeast, you know, Pennsylvania back 96 degrees in parts of New York and Pennsylvania, and they don't know how to deal with that stuff, man. It is just, plus they've had a lot of water. Indiana has got flooding in the state of Indiana. Midwest is getting flooded out. So there's always something to Mother Nature.
All the folks from around the world coming to the States for World Cup, they're going to get hit with the heat. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, some spots are going to get it. Yeah, some people that have been in a cool down area are going to find out the humidity here. And the high temps is just, it's nothing to joke about. And I found myself outside yesterday doing some dumb yard work that, of course, that made my heart start thumping way faster. Drank like 3 straight bottles of water. You know, I don't drink a lot of water, but I sat down and drank 3 bottles of water and it was miserable outside. Just miserable.
It's, and then it comes to
the end, of course, with a wonderful night because I've got my protection dog, Louie, who, if you put something in the yard, if you took a case of water and you put it in the front yard, that dog will sleep by it thinking that's his job for the night. I just happened to put the wheelbarrow with dirt near my bedroom window last night. You know, I left some stuff in because I still have some work to do. That dude was there at 2 o'clock in the morning, laying underneath the wheelbarrow, barking and barking. And I wanted to go outside. I'm thinking, you can go and move the wheelbarrow. Just take your naked old man ass out there, move the wheelbarrow and he'll go over there. But I was thinking, my wife's not around. What if I fall down and hit my head? There's an old black man laying in his own property, just naked out there. I've fallen and I don't want my watch to go off because I don't wear that watch. I do not wear this watch to bed. I know people sleep because they want to know what their sleep cycle is like and everything. I put it off, put it on a stand to tee it up for the next day. So I just don't do that. But I had this awful feeling about me hitting my head and being waking up, you know, to the rooster and the dog licking me as I'm naked outside. And people are just going by honking the horn, just pointing, look at that cat, look at that cat. What is wrong with that old man? Why is he naked laying in the yard? So
now that's a visual right there. Thank you very much for that.
It doesn't matter what you put outside, this dog will protect it overnight and he'll lay by it and he'll bark. So. Sorry about that, folks. You didn't need to know all that stuff, but that's just a quick rundown of what it's like when you're alone, when you're home alone, when you get left home alone and your daughter's calling you a couple times during the day to see if you're still alive. It's crazy. It's crazy. Good day to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so much for what you do to you and your families. Please be safe out there.
And you're giving us the Tom Petty. You don't know how it feels to be me.
Oh, God.
And you're giving us the whole rundown of a day in the life of Bucky Godbolt.
And by the way, this right here, with my daughters gave me 2 years ago now, BK, this has been one of the best gifts I've ever received. That's what fathers need. This is what fathers need, Father's Day. It's these things like this that are worth something. I know you kids that are out there making little ashtrays and going to Marshall's to get a tie for your dad, you can do better.
You're pointing to an Apple Watch for those tuned in audio only right now. Yeah, I remember when you got that gift, you were dunking on it. You said, it sucks. I hate this thing. I don't know why they got me this thing. And here you are singing its praises 2 years later. Yeah. Good for you.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome, man. It's awesome. And people don't even have kids get these things, I guess. Lifeline on your wrist. And there's, you know what, our buddy Chip Brown needs this because I'm pretty sure when he's playing tennis, he's falling down, or when he's catching a plane, he's running through the airports and some little kid on his little scooter is running through him. Got to have this.
That is so disrespectful to Chip, comparing him to you and your athleticism in your 70s. Well, joining us now, we chop it up with Chip every single Wednesday on this show. It's our Longhorns insider, Chip Brown from Horns 24/7 and horns247.com. Of course, our weekly conversations with Chip presented by our friends at Cover 3. See, Breezy, are you going to take that, first of all?
Falling down, man. Isn't there another Tom Petty song, Free Falling? Hopefully not after today.
There you go.
Going in for a total knee replacement. Going to come back bigger, faster, stronger. You know what this makes you do, though? The doctor was like, you need to do all this prehab.
Yes.
You need to strengthen your legs like crazy. So I've been in the gym, and I'm like, why haven't I been doing this all along?
When I had my knee done, I went in before I had surgery. I worked out for 3 months to prepare myself. I did so much stuff that the other knee that was struggling never had any problems again. My left knee, and I went in there, and I'm so glad that somebody said, don't go in there just cold and then think the rehab's going to do it. Before you decide to get surgery, you should work out and get yourself set for a couple months and get ready, prepared for it. And you know what? I never thought of that before. It is so true.
Hopefully, you know, knock wood, whatever. Hope the doctor's having a good morning.
Tell them to use the good stuff on you. Tell them to use the good metal. Tell them don't get that stuff from Pittsburgh Steel. Get the Bethlehem Steel stuff.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Just knock me out.
Well, that's commitment, Chip. We appreciate you joining us on a big day like today. Yeah. Thoughts and prayers and best of luck with everything. But, man, would love to get your thoughts. So much to dive into. But I think we start with some Texas baseball. The Longhorns, once again, going to the College World Series for the 39th time in program history. And, boy, there were some questions about this Texas team with the way they played in Hoover, Alabama in the very short SEC tournament. They've responded in a big way, 5 straight wins to get back to Omaha. It's kind of your thoughts on Texas's run, and how do you think the Longhorns stack up the College World Series?
Well, think about this baseball team, where they were when they started the season. You had Aiden Robbins in center field. You had Ashton Larson in left field. You had Anthony Pack in right field. And now that's completely changed around. Ashton Larson's over at first base. Casey Borba's over at third base. You got Adrian Rodriguez at short. You got Temo Becerra, who, you know, has played short and third. It's just been this reconstituted lineup, but it doesn't matter because you've got the pitching of Dylan Volantis. You've got the pitching of Sam Clozart, the freshman pitcher of the year. And you've got the hitting of Aiden Robbins and Anthony Pack and Carson Tinney. Now, what we saw in the Super Regional is a guy like Adrian Rodriguez can step up and deliver the goods when it mattered most, because Texas was leaving a lot of guys on base, and you're sitting there going, okay, can't afford that. And then when it matters most, Adrian Rodriguez steps up with the two RBI double and gives them the, you know, the 6-5 win. And so, you know, that's clutch, because here's the thing. I don't know if there's ever been a more important game than this game Saturday night against Georgia, because Texas, as good as their frontline pitching is, Dylan Volantis, you know, you've got, you know, Luke Harrison and Ruger Riojas, you don't want to have to get into middle relief, because that's the one piece of the puzzle that's still kind of a guessing game. Like, you've had really good performances from Hayden LaFeu. You know, you've had good performances here and there from, you know, Brett Crossland, and you're not, and Thomas Burns, you're not quite sure. We've never seen Cal Higgins again, it seems, after that. He gave up the grand slam, you know, to Ole Miss earlier in the year. So they've got to stay on schedule. They got to win. They got to beat Georgia. They need Dylan, the praying mantis Volantis, to take down Georgia, stay in the winner's bracket, because Texas got, they're in the tough end of this draw. They're in with a bunch of SEC teams, you know, and then over there, you got West Virginia talking about Country Roads, Take Me Home, and Troy, and all these little feel good Cinderella stories. Mm-hmm. In Texas's bracket, you got a cage fight of SEC teams. So, you know, I think people like Texas because they're complete, because they do have hitting. They've got power in their lineup. They've got good frontline pitching, and they've got a closer who's an ace. You just got to avoid, you know, getting too deep into the weeds, you know, in that middle relief.
Agreed, 100%. So how do you think this team stacks up with Georgia? Obviously, Texas and Georgia did not play in the regular season, but everybody knows the Bulldogs won the SEC regular season and tournament championships. They're the highest remaining seed in this thing. I know a lot of Longhorn fans are like, can we get a reseed? Can we get a reseed? Obviously, that's not how it works, but seems like a great matchup on paper with Dylan Volantis against that Georgia offense, Chip.
I like that matchup. You know, if Dylan Volantis is what he normally is in a high stakes moment, which is money, then I like the Longhorns, because Dylan Volantis is going to keep the ball low in the zone. He doesn't give up home runs. He's given up 2 all year. I know Georgia's, you know, smashing home runs in that little bandbox they play in. But Volantis doesn't give up the home runs. You know, that's a huge plus. We all know his motion is so unique. Everyone talks about how the ball comes out of the sky. You can't pick it up. You don't know what's coming. And that's exactly the remedy for a team like Georgia. So as long as Volantis is dealing, I like Texas to win game one. And then, you know, stay in that winner's bracket as long as you can. Just ask Mike White about that. And, you know, put Georgia in that pressure situation. Because, I don't, you know, Georgia's pitching isn't as good as Texas's.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Chip,
yeah, Brown, I'll just say this. When you look at both these teams, you know, last week playing against Oregon, similar in power, very similar kind of in pitching, athleticism. But I think Texas may have just a little bit of an edge speed-wise over Georgia. I don't know if they're power hitting. Georgia is right there when it comes to hitting home runs. They can hit home runs too. But I think Texas has this little edge in speed. All of a sudden, they look fantastic on the base pass. They take these extra bases, and if they walk, that's troubling for other teams. So if they can be patient and in the batter's box and get on base, boy, can this group run. I mean, they've got Teddy Pendergrass out there and center field. When he gets on, he doesn't swing, so he gets on. So if there's any guy that can get a walk, that guy's going to have the opportunity, because his coach ain't going to let him take the bat off his shoulders. But yeah, I mean, the speed. I like the way they run the paces.
Yeah, and it's a great point you make about the patience at the plate. Texas does not – they don't chase.
Yeah.
You know, they make you throw strikes, and otherwise they're going to take the walk. And, you know, Georgia's staff walks batters at an 11.4% rate, which is the average nationally. Among the 8 Omaha teams, though, it's the second worst walk rate, ahead of only Oklahoma. So it's not a number that stands out on the stat sheet, but against Texas, mm-hmm. you know, filling the strike zone is pivotal because the Longhorns have drawn 52 free passes in their five NCAA tournament games and ranked second in the country with a 15.5% walk rate. So they've been really seeing the baseball and not chasing, and that's going to put pressure on everyone's pitching staff. I mean, you saw Oregon, hell, their starting pitcher in game two was at 90 pitches in the fourth inning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, you know, that forces you to change the game. Suddenly you're in your bullpen. You're looking for some middle relievers. Oregon was rifling through them, and Texas finally got to them. So that's a really good point. And Texas is, you know, they've got aggressive base runners. They've got speed. You know, Anthony Pack, geez, oh, flip this kid, man. He's something special.
Now, okay. Is Borba, let me ask you, both of you guys, is Borba, I mean, for some reason, I watch all these guys run, and he feels his position really, really well. He's athletic. Is he a speed guy? Does he have really decent speed? Is he a pretty good base runner, or is he just kind of average?
You know, I think he's okay. I don't know if he's going to win any 40s, but, you know, he's a good athlete.
Okay.
Yep, that's a good way to describe
it. He's not a real base-stealing threat, though. He's not that guy that's all of a sudden going to make the pitcher throw over eight times because he's worried that he's going to take off, is he?
He's no the safety for football.
Jonah Williams.
He's Jonah Williams.
He's not going to make you throw over there. So he's just a good athlete, but doesn't have his speed. He may be that guy in the lineup.
In college baseball, he'll throw over if any of the three of us are on first base. There's so many pickoffs now. I mean, Chip coming out of knee replacement surgery, they'll go check on him a few times. Ridiculous.
Hey, they throw over there a lot.
There are times where that pitcher is indecisive about what he's going to throw over the plate, and he doesn't want to get the shot clock violation, so he just whips it over to the
– Oh, I see. Base. So they got all kinds of outs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, college baseball needs to adopt that MLB rule with the pickoff limitations because it's getting out of control these days.
That game was 4 hours long.
Man.
It's insane. Oh, man. Chip Brown, Horns247.com, joining us here on Bucky and BK, our weekly Chop It Up with Chip conversation presented by our friends at Cover 3. Chip, moving over to some Longhorn football conversation. Summer workouts going on campus right now. Kind of want to get your thoughts on Derek Cooper, right? A guy that we talked about a lot during the spring, one of the standouts from spring practice for Texas, had a good showing during that Fan Day open practice. God, it feels like the more I hear about this guy, the more I think he's going to have a legitimate role as a freshman, despite the fact that Texas went out and got Raleigh Brown and Hollywood Smothers. What have you been hearing about Derek Cooper, and do you feel like he will be a significant contributor in his first year on the 40?
Yeah, and they're, you know, it's a little thing, but I pay attention to those social media posts that Texas football makes because they don't feature players that they don't feel like have earned the right to be featured in those. And Derek Cooper's getting some love in those little posts, but he's a guy who just, and we've talked about this before, Bucky, he just feels comfortable right now as a freshman, walking in that locker room, walking out on the practice field. Like, I know I belong. I know I'm a guy. I know I can make plays at this level. And that's going to translate to him having a role on this football team, whether it's, you know, third down, because he has shown he can pick up the blitz. He's impressed running backs coach Jamar Jaluk that way. And he's a strong, determined runner. I mean, we even saw that a little bit in the spring scrimmage because, you know, he runs through a tackle by Hero Canoe and drags four guys 7 yards. I mean, that's right through the A gap. So that, you know, you're immediately like, okay, well, that looked like some good short yardage running to me. So I think he's at least going to be the short yardage guy. Could be, you know, could be the third down back, although you know, Riley Brown and Hollywood Smothers both catch the ball really well. And I've said this before, I'm a big Riley Brown guy. I think he's on a mission, and I'm really excited to see what he brings, because he is a powerful yet twitchy runner. And I think he's super determined. So excited to see how those guys fit, but I think you're right. I mean, I think it's Raleigh Brown. I think it's Hollywood Smothers, and I think it's Derek Cooper. And then everybody else is fighting to get in the, you know, in the top three.
Yeah. I mean, for the future, it looks really bright for a kid like that. If he's getting that kind of respect, and your teammates generally are the ones that start that whole respect thing. Cause it's hard to get respect as a young runner, because everybody that suits up, even if they don't play the position, thinks they're better than you. I could be a better running back than you. You just came in here. You're not ready for this. You're just right off the streets, and you're not coming into a place like Texas where you are the guy. You may think you're the guy. We will let you know when you're the guy.
Right. And they're trying to beat him down.
They already let him know. Which is interesting.
Yeah, they're trying to beat him down. They're trying to make sure that confidence doesn't get too high soon.
No, they don't want you as a freshman thinking you can carry the ball 25 times.
You're
going to fumble.
You're going to make a mistake. We can't trust you.
Yeah. Not many of those guys come around. Those guys are hard to come by. There's guys that you can say situationally, yeah, we're okay with you doing this. But if you got to be in for four series, you know, because the guy's sprained an ankle, we're starting to look around to an older guy. And if he's got that kind of that vibration that everybody's feeling around him, all it takes is one play anyway. You know that, Chip. It'll take one thing to happen in the Texas State game, even though you play Ohio State the next week. That guy does something, a 35-yard make you miss run, and then lowers a shoulder on a guy. I mean, that's it. He's in. And I mean, that's going to make him feel good. But until you actually do it on the field in a game, all those things that happen at practice and you get that respect, it won't really, really matter to the person himself until the game time comes, when you got 100,000 in there and you show them what you can do.
Well, I had a source tell me that they said Derek Cooper looks like a healthy CJ Baxter.
Wow.
Like, this kid's got it. And honestly, Derek Cooper's more comfortable because CJ Baxter played in a gap scheme, run scheme in high school, didn't run zone runs, and was never really comfortable running inside and outside zone, knowing when to, you know, plant that foot and get north and south. Whereas Derek Cooper's done that. He's run out of a more versatile running scheme coming out of high school. So I think it's fair for fans to start getting excited about Derek Cooper.
Awesome.
I love it. Chip Brown of Horns247.com joining us here on Bucky and BK. You know, my last question, Chip, we'll get you out of here on this one. And your insider this week over at Horns247.com, you're talking some Texas softball. Obviously, there's a lot of craze around Mike White and the Longhorn softball team after winning back-to-back national championships. The transfer portal's open already. We know Texas has a lot of its stars returning for 2027, but they're going to lose some important pieces. How active do you think Mike White's going to be in the portal, and are there a couple of names that maybe Texas fans need to know right off the bat?
Yeah, Texas is going to be active. Because they lose Reese Atwood, their all everything catcher who leads, you know, career leader in home runs and RBI. They lose Leanne Good, their senior second base woman. And they lose Sitlali Gutierrez, who was the unsung hero of the, you know, Women's College World Series, winning two elimination games, including the championship clincher over Texas Tech, where they took her out of the game and then reinserted her to bail them out of a bases loaded situation after they put Hannah Wells in. So at catcher, I think you have to start with Arizona State's senior transfer catcher, Samantha Swan of Georgetown, who came in for a visit on Monday. She almost single-handedly beat Texas in the in the super regional in games 1 and 2. She was 4 for 6 with 5 RBI in the game one win, and you know they were up in that second game, and it wasn't until Victoria Hunter hit the two-run homer in the sixth to pull Texas out of that fire. And so that would be a huge pickup. It would also give them an in with Issa Torres, who is, you know, the national player of the year at Florida State, who batted over 500, had a phenomenal year. She played with Swan at Georgetown. And you know, she batted 530, which was third nationally. She scored 78 runs, which is top nine nationally. Her slugging percentage is top 10. Her on-base percentage was number five nationally. Issa Torres, everybody wants her. That's going to be a battle, but you know, Texas is in the fight. And then Maddie Azua, the left-handed pitcher from Texas State, led the nation in innings pitched with 244.2 and had an ERA of 1.95. Mm. Like, that's astounding work, and to maintain that level of performance. I mean, she is just an iron woman, would be an ideal replacement for Citlali Gutierrez because she's a senior. She's been through it. She wants to win. So, you know, and don't forget, they already have Sophia Bordy, the Oklahoma transfer, who it gets a little complicated, but she reclassified, went to OU early. It didn't work out. She transferred into Texas at mid-year. If you're a mid-year transfer, you're immediately ineligible for baseball and softball. So she had to sit out, but she's on the roster already. She was the number one recruit in the 2026 recruiting cycle, two-time New Jersey Gatorade, you know, player of the year. Ridiculous stat, like kind of Kat Osterman, like high school stats. We don't know how good she won two state championships. She threw a perfect game in one of the state championship games. She threw a 20 strikeout no hitter in the other. I mean, so let's see how that looks, but I think Mike White's off to a good start, and you know, he's only losing Cambria Salmon, sophomore right-handed pitcher who didn't see a lot of action this year. Mm. And then another backup infielder. So, you know, holding the roster together, he's got a couple of coaches he's got to replace, but I think he's okay with that. I think he made a couple of hires. Well, one hire, Aaron Earlywine, who is now going to Tennessee in the same role. His personality was so different from Steve Singleton's. I think Mike White wanted to bring in someone with a little more juice.
You know, I would love to see, you know, the University of Turd in the Punch Bowl, Texas Tech, lose their starting pitcher, the little lefty, who's now transferred. You know, I think she was at Arizona State before she went to Tech. Is that true?
UCLA, Caitlin Terry.
Yeah, I would love to have her in a Longhorn uniform. You know, I can't blame everything on Tech. I mean, she's awesome. She just doesn't look good in that uniform. Plus, she's been losing. You know, she loses to, you know, she leaves the other school. She goes to Tech. She gets beat by Texas. Are they just going to pay her too much money to keep her there? She's not leaving.
Yeah, Tech's got some holes they got to fill. You know,
yeah, Nigel
Kennedy's moving on. They got to try to hang on to Caitlin Terry.
They can't
spend like crazy. They spent like crazy ahead of the house settlement last year. If they go blow big bucks for seven more transfers, we know they're just blowing through with all the.
They don't care.
Yeah, the rules don't apply out there.
Yeah, the rules don't apply to
them. Cody Campbell's trying to fix everything. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Brandon Sorsby is eligible. I don't like it either, but I'm trying to fix everything. So we just got to go with what we're. I mean, geez, yeah. Flip. Come on, Cody.
Ridiculous. Well, Chip, great stuff as always. Really appreciate your time. Sending a prayer your way for today. And I'll text you later, make sure everything's okay. But appreciate you joining us here on a Wednesday.
Good luck to you, Chip.
Talk to y'all next week.
Yes, sir. There he goes. Our Texas Longhorns insider, Chip Brown. Horns247.com, talking all things Texas football and baseball and softball. And there's a lot going on the 40 acres. Real quick, shout out to Cover 3 because they present that conversation each and every week. The best sports bar in Austin is Cover 3. We're about to talk soccer. You're looking for a place to watch the World Cup that gets going tomorrow.
Indeed.
Cover Three's got your back. They're going to have every match on. They'll also have the College World Series. They'll have the NBA Finals games. They'll have the Stanley Cup games. Every game, big screens all over the restaurant right there on Anderson Lane, just east of MoPac. And the food there is spectacular as well. That's what separates it from the other sports bars around Central Texas. The Sean Adams prime rib sandwich is amazing. The brick chicken mac and cheese is my favorite thing there. Great flatbreads, burgers, something for everybody. Great drinks, great service. Checks every box, everything you're looking for in a sports bar, you can find at Cover Three.
A big shout out to our friends over at Texas Orthopedics, of course. Chip's getting his knee done. Hopefully talk to somebody over at that place, because their physicians offer comprehensive surgical and non-surgical orthopedic care for children and adults, spinal care, sports medicine, joint replacement, which he's about to have done for sure. And they're a dedicated orthopedic group there, and their goal is to get you back into good health and the great quality of life that you deserve. Texas Orthopedics is the largest independent orthopedic practice in Central Texas. For more information, go to txortho.com.
Yes, indeed. All right, we'll catch up on some sponsor shout-outs in a bit, but man, joining us now to talk World Cup. We're really excited about this conversation. We're really excited about the World Cup kicking off tomorrow. Of course, Team USA will play its first match on Friday night in Los Angeles. Ben Wright joining us now. He covers all things soccer for 615 Soccer, Soccer America, Backheeled. His work has been featured with the MLS. This guy does a little bit of everything. I probably missed a few things, Ben, but really appreciate you joining us today, man. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me on. I'm doing really well. Like everybody else here, I'm super excited for the World Cup to start. It feels like I've been counting down the time for the past decade, and we're a day away. So I'm doing great right now.
Well, let me ask you this, Ben, for sort of soccer novice, and BK and I are soccer novice for sure, but we know enough about it barely. But let me ask you this about where the games are being played. Are all these services, grass services, are they having to replace their AstroTurfs at places, take it out, or put the grass over the top of it? Because there's nothing underneath that stuff but cement. So how is this working at every location?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a huge process, to be honest. FIFA has pretty strict standards for the playing surfaces. I mean, unsurprisingly so. A lot of there's been a lot of talk about the quality of the fields from some of these pre-World Cup friendlies. And I think if you look at a lot of the places that have had complaints aren't actually hosting games at the World Cup. Places like Charlotte put down real grass over their turf, and they just laid it flat on top of it. For FIFA, they end up putting in a pretty significant amount of sand on top of the artificial turf to give it more cushioning. But it's a pretty extensive process. There was actually a documentary put out by FIFA kind of going behind the scenes on how long it's taken. They had a guy relocate. He's been in Mexico for over 2 years, just overseeing growing all the grass. They've had extensive installation. So it's a pretty major process. And I've seen more than one NFL player who's a little bit salty that FIFA comes in and gets to install actual grass, and then as soon as the tournament's done, they rip it out, and NFL players go back to tearing their ACLs on artificial turf.
Yeah.
Ben Wright joining us here to talk some soccer. And well, let's start with Group D, I guess, and the U.S. men's national team's chances to get out of Group D. Obviously, in 2022, the U.S. made it out of Group B. They lost in the round of 16 to the Netherlands, you know, after the horrific disappointment of not even qualifying in 2018. But this year, Paraguay to start, Australia and Turkey. Based on the FIFA World Rankings and what I've heard, it feels like the U.S. has a great opportunity to once again get to the knockout stages. Your thoughts on how the Americans kind of line up within their own group here in 26?
Yeah, I think they do have a good shot to get out. I mean, that should be the minimum expectation, I think, for any tournament, but especially this tournament, since it's the first World Cup featuring 48 teams. So it's not just the top two who advance. The eight best third place teams from the 12 groups will also advance. So they're playing the entire group stage and only eliminating 16 teams. It's a fairly low bar to advance. That being said, I think the U.S. should win this group. I think it's maybe a tighter group than it looks just initially. I think they're all four of the teams are pretty close together in the FIFA rankings. I think Turkey especially is a really good team and maybe a little bit under the radar since they had to go through playoffs and everything to qualify, but I think they're going to be a really tough team. Australia are always tough to play against, but I think they maybe lack some of the top end quality of Turkey or the United States. And the Paraguay are just really tricky. They did really well in South American qualifying. They have Julio Enciso, I think, is their best player and one of the best players in South America. He would be a major threat against the U.S., but he's currently hurt, and it looks like he's not going to play until towards the end of the group stage. So really hate to see that for him, but I think it might play into the U.S.'s favor. But, yeah, if they can get a result in their first game, I think they'll win the group here.
Now, Ben, the teams that separate themselves from the rest of the world, is it the normal cast of characters? France, Germany, Argentina. I mean, Brazil. Is that the three that are the most, probably the most powerful of the groupings out of all of these teams? Those three.
I would say going into it, it's France and then Spain. I think are probably Spain. The two. France, it's just hard to overstate how deep they are. Like, their backups could probably win the World Cup, and they could probably field the team of players that they just left off their roster entirely who could make it to the quarterfinals. They have like four world-class players at every single position. So they're really good, and Spain aren't far off. I mean, they're really deep. They don't have the globally elite striker that France does, but I mean, they have a 18-year-old kid, Lamine Yamal, who is maybe the best player in the world. If not, he's one of two or three of the best players in the world. And he's 18. He was the best player at the Euros in 2024. And I think he's even better now. So I think Spain should be they should make a pretty deep run. I think the big thing to watch out for, typically European teams have struggled when World Cups have been held in the Western Hemisphere. So that's something to watch out for, but especially with the heat. I'm looking at teams like England especially. I think it could be really tough for them to deal with just temperatures that a lot of these players will have never experienced in any scenario in their lives, let alone playing some of the most important games that they've ever played. So I'm really curious to see if some of the South American teams who deal with this kind of weather on a more regular basis, teams like Brazil, Uruguay, Argentina, even the United States and Mexico, if they can kind of use that to their advantage and maybe overperform some of these teams who just haven't had any preparation for something like this.
And the Brazilians, how good are they this year?
They're always good. They do feel a little bit like the Dallas Cowboys, though, where they have this reputation of being an absolutely elite team. I mean, they've won the thing six times. They're as historic as it gets, but they haven't won since 2002, which for most teams, whatever, they're happy to just have won it at all. For the Brazilians, sure, it's kind of been a disaster, and anything besides winning the World Cup for them is unacceptable. They're one to watch because Neymar is back in the roster. He's not the same Neymar of 4 years ago.
Sure.
He's dealing with injuries. He returned to his boyhood club Santos in Brazil, and it didn't go great, to put it lightly. And he was maybe a controversial pick to make the roster just based on on-field performance, but he's also kind of the emotional leader of not just this team but the whole country. So I think it's one to keep an eye on how much he gets on the field, how he performs, and just how this Brazil team is able to they have lofty expectations in how they're able to live up to it.
Yeah, so he has the fire. He just may not have the firepower anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Injuries will do that to you, unfortunately.
Yes. Yeah.
Ben Wright of 615 Soccer joining us here on Bucky and BK. Back to America, Ben. I mean, the strengths and weaknesses of this UN's men's national team, and then I guess the goalkeeper question, right? Matt Fries, Matt Turner, I know both of those guys have been getting opportunities in these tune-up matches. Who ultimately do you think is the guy sort of carrying the load back there for the Americans?
Yeah, goalkeeper is interesting. I forget what podcast I was listening to. I think it might have been Inside American Soccer with Todd Ramos, a former U.S. national team player. He pointed out that this is probably the first time ever that the U.S. has gone into a World Cup not knowing who their number one goalkeeper is. I don't think it's maybe as big of an issue as it seems, because I think Turner and Matt Fries are both playing at a pretty similar level, and I think they're pretty similar in terms of quality. They are different players, though. Matt Turner is just an elite shot stopper. He's the best in MLS right now, but Matt Fries is much better with the ball at his feet. And so I think it kind of comes down to what head coach Mauricio Pochettino is going to emphasize with his goalkeeper. If he wants to emphasize how they can start attacks in possession, or if it just comes down to who stops goals better, that's definitely something to keep an eye on. I think the other big, it's not a weakness, but the big question mark heading into this is just how healthy Chris Richards is. He is their S-tier center back, and there's a pretty significant drop off from him to anybody else, not just on the roster, but anybody else in the player pool. And he's currently injured. He's recovering from an injury that he suffered with Crystal Palace at the end of the season. It looks like he's back in training, and he says he'll be available for the game against Paraguay. Other people on the staff have said it's less of a clear shot. He might be available later in the group stage, but I think it's just seeing how quickly he'll be able to not just get healthy, but get on the field and kind of find a high level is going to be pretty crucial for the U.S. I think he's one of the two or three most important players on the roster. So just having him on the field is obviously going to be key for them.
Well, I mean, in a World Cup game and a World Cup games to be played, there'll be a lot of firepower from, teams all over this world. Yeah. How will the United States be able to defend? Who will be the guys that we'll be looking at to really hold up the defense for USA?
Yeah, I mean, Richards is one. I think Tim Ream is probably going to be the other starting center back. And he was fantastic for them in 2022. He's played in the Premier League for almost a decade, but he's 38. And I think definitely towards the end of his career. And I think a lot of people are, myself included, I'm a little bit concerned that no one else has taken that spot from him. In 2022, it was a great story. He was 35 during the 2022 World Cup. And it felt like it was a great last run for a player who had been an important player for them for a while. No one else has stepped up in the last 4 years. And so I think that's a concern, but he looks like he'll start. He's the captain for this team at the World Cup. I think he's going to be an important player. I think a lot of their defense is going to come from midfield. Tyler Adams is, he's again, one of the most important players in this team. He's a real leader of the group, but he's not an elite world-class player, but he is world-class at breaking up play from the opponent and winning the ball back. And he covers a ton of ground. He does a ton of really good defensive work to shield that back line. And so I think he'll be really important to kind of break things up before they get to Tim Ream and kind of shut things down at the source a little bit. So I think he's going to be probably the most important defensive player that they have.
Now, does Ream play in Europe or is he MLS guy?
Ream played at Fulham for a decade, and then within the last 2 years, he went back to Charlotte in MLS.
Okay.
Gotcha. Ben Wright, 615 Soccer, joining us here. My last question for you, Ben, the ceiling question, right? And it's kind of hard to predict this because you don't know how the bracket's going to shape out. You don't know what the matchups are once you get past the group stage. But a realistic ceiling for the U.S. men's national team here in this 2026 World Cup.
Man, that's the million-dollar question that we've all been asking for like 4 years. So, how long do you have? No, I think realistically, yeah, a lot of it does come down to how the bracket shapes up, and I think kind of the big X factor is just how much an advantage is is playing at home going to be. In the past, you've seen South Korea made it all the way to the semifinals when they hosted in 2002. We've seen other teams kind of use their home field advantage to really make a deeper run than people were expecting. Based on just how they played a friendly against Germany last week in Chicago, their kind of final World Cup send-off. And that was one of the best atmospheres I've ever seen in American soccer. I mean, that Soldier Field was electric. If they get that kind of support throughout the tournament, I could see them making a run to the quarterfinals. I think they'll have to take down a team like Belgium or Argentina on the way, which is a huge ask. But I mean, We've been hyping this team up for 4 years and saying that these are the best players that the U.S. has ever had. They're playing at home. If they were ever going to do something kind of unprecedented like that, this is the time to do it. So crazier things have happened at a World Cup. I think they can make it to the quarterfinals.
Hey, from your lips to God's ears, Ben. That's awesome. Man, great stuff. Really appreciate the time. I've read some of your work over the last couple of days getting ready for the World Cup. So thanks for taking some time. I know you've got a bunch of stuff going on right now, but enjoy the soccer, and hopefully we get the chance to do this again sometime down the road, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it, man.
And real quick, Ben, before we let you go, I should give you the opportunity to promote your work. If folks, we know you cover the MLS, or Austin FC fans, obviously for the World Cup, if they want to find your work, how can they do that?
Yeah. So I kind of on a daily basis, I head up 615 Soccer in Nashville, covering Nashville SC, but kind of MLS as a whole. we'll be doing some World Cup stuff there, but then I'll be doing a lot of U.S. soccer coverage for Soccer America and Backfield.com. So definitely check both of those out.
Beautiful. All right. Thanks, Ben. Really appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right. There he goes. Ben Wright, again, covers all things soccer, MLS, World Cup, U.S. men's national team, and everything in between. And, Buck, it all gets rolling tomorrow. Team USA plays its first match Friday night, 8 o'clock Central Time against Paraguay in L.A., but we got a couple of matches to kick this thing off. And, you know, you and I aren't the biggest soccer fans in the world, but when it comes to World Cup time, I will be.
Oh, USA, man, hell yeah.
Yeah, you got your USA fit.
I'm ready to go.
I might get a bald eagle tattoo today across the chest.
There you go. Now you're talking.
Should I do that if the U.S. wins? What should I do if we win the world? I mean, it's not going to happen.
Definitely, like, yeah. You got to get an eagle tattoo somewhere.
Bald eagle tat?
Absolutely. Okay. You don't have to worry about it, but it'll at least be on your mind, the thought of it.
Like shave a bald eagle into my head or something like that?
No, you need one that's permanent. It's got to be on your back or your backside or something.
Yeah, well, how much do I care about the U.S. soccer? I think my parents would never talk to me again if I got that. But, hey, we win the World Cup. That's a good trade-off, right?
Yes, it is. Hell like yeah. That.
Well, what are you going to do? That's what I'll do. What are you going to do?
I don't have to do anything because they're not winning.
Oh, come on. Some fan, you're telling me to do all this stuff and you're not doing nothing? Hey,
do you believe in miracles? Not in this case.
Hey, it happened once.
Not with this group. Not in soccer.
We're due. We did.
I like the fact that he believes that they could get to the quarters, which is pretty good.
Yeah, you take that. I mean, it'd be a massive disappointment. I know enough to know it'd be a massive disappointment to not get out of the group. They should win the group, but obviously you don't have to win it to get out. But to me, anything after that is pretty gravy. It just kind of depends on your matchup. But if they do win the group, then they will get a three seed. Like one, a third place finisher in another group. So, like, you should win that. And then anything after that, obviously, gets a little more dicey. But, yeah, I'm excited. They've got a favorable draw. Obviously helps playing here in North America. So, hopefully, they can at least give us a couple of weeks' worth of excitement instead of just three matches and then see you in 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, the games in Houston, games in Dallas, that ought to give people – I mean, it shouldn't be a reason that you should be drinking a bunch of Allstat. You don't need much of a reason, actually. But boy, they're going to get an opportunity in this state to get some good stuff. I can guarantee you that, because it's going to be, you're going to need to have some drinks and some water to go along with that.
Oh yeah, sure. Well, some great, great matches. You know, unfortunately for, I mean, look, soccer fans are going to watch any match and they'll go and they're going to spend thousands of dollars to go. Uh oh,
I have no clue.
That you or me?
I think it's me.
Okay.
Keep on yapping. I got to get rid of that. I'll get you back.
All right.
Don't close. Just leave it.
No. Yeah. Just go take care of it. That's already done.
I wonder what that was. Huh?
We got, that's the fire the U.S. men's national team is going to bring to.
Yeah. I hope they bring it. I hope they don't bring it like that. I hate that sound. You know what that is? That's probably the alarm. Fire alarm means change the battery.
I don't know. Is your wife home?
No.
Okay, go check the kitchen, make sure nothing's on fire. I'll do some sponsor shout out. Unless you feel good about it.
I feel pretty good about it. There's no, remember, I'm not allowed to use the stove.
That's true. Maybe your wife just left it on.
Only thing that's turned on is the of course the microwave. That's not. I used that earlier today. So there's nothing. I heard this a couple About a month ago, I went on. We changed some batteries, so who knows? Maybe it's time to change them all. And guess who doesn't get up on the ladder? Me.
You. Oh, yeah. That was a pretty easy guess. Also, yeah. You told us before you let me guess, but that was an easy one. Cool.
It's gone.
All right. Well, then we'll get to some sponsor shout-outs. USA, USA, USA. I was saying, kind of sucks because the first three group stage games are all on the left coast. I think two are in LA and one of them's in Seattle.
Yeah.
Obviously if the Americans make a run, there's a better chance they'll play somewhere around here, but either way, we're excited and it all gets going tomorrow.
How about Ben saying, yeah, the NFL guys look at these stadiums that have this wonderful, they bring in this grass in there and then they rip it up and then put back that turf. And they're like, damn.
Hey, new turf for all these NFL teams this fall.
Yeah,
right?
They're getting brand new turf. Yeah.
Better than nothing. But yeah.
No, Jerry just rolls it out into the parking lot. That is going to be awesome.
Well, you know what Jerry's doing this year that has every Cowboys fan ticked off? They're going to close the curtains.
No, really?
Yes. Yes.
Well, we needed to make the grass grow, Jerry.
I mean, the sun that everybody knows about whenever the Cowboys are playing a 325 game, you know, late in the afternoon, the sun always comes in through that side of the stadium and it just ruins everything. And Jerry Jones is too big of an ego to do something about it. Yeah, no, for the World Cup. Yeah, it's all right. We'll protect you guys. I don't care about my team that I own, but you guys, no. We'll cover the sun for you. We got you.
Shutting the curtain, huh?
Ridiculous, man. Everyone knows it's possible, and yet Jerry Jones just won't do it for the Cowboys. Well,
they'll have to do that, and Houston, too. Houston's got to roll in the grass also, correct?
Yeah, everyone's going to be doing it. So,
I don't know. Those guys don't want to get rug burns. Those little guys that are fake falling down anyway, they don't want to get their elbows burned or their knees burned, falling down to the ground and wincing in pain when they're not really hurt. So, they got to have real grass to fall on.
They'll still be flopping. You can bet
that. That won't stop them.
Dude, it could be concrete and they would be flopping. And then they'd flop more because they hit the concrete.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep, soccer. I get ready for it. All right, well, we'll take y'all's thoughts on everything. Loaded first hour of the show with Chip Brown and with Ben Wright talking all sorts of things. We've got some NBA Finals chatter to get into, some Texas football conversation to dive into as well, but and before we get to anything else, how about some sponsor shout-outs?
So our friends over at Hat Creek Burger Company playing golf today, which means I got to stop off on the way to the course and grab myself. I'm going Little Hat today, BK, with some fries, regular fries. I'm going to get a kid-size shake today. Oh. I'm going banana pudding shake. Ooh. But I'm going to go with the small version of it before I play golf. It's going to be really, really hot. I don't know how that's going to mix well with my muffin that I had in my coffee this morning. So I got to be careful. But folks, you don't have to be careful when you go to Hat Creek Burger Company. You can eat big hats, small hats, little hats. You can eat all the fries you want, queso fries. You can have nuggies. They've got everything that you want. They've got 30 locations, of course, in the state of Texas. And find that location near you. It's always a great place for good food, good folks, and good fun. And for the kids, they've got these wonderful playscapes. So if you want to have your kids have their burgers, bring their friends with them, and you can, mom and dad or any adults can go there and have a margarita late in the evening if you'd like when you're over at Hat Creek Burger. Folks, Hat Creek Burger has something for everyone. Everyone on their menu, there's something for you there. But believe me, the shakes are top quality and top class. I love the shakes there. I'm just saying small one, but once I get there, I'll just probably have a regular size shake. It doesn't matter what time of the day is. And no one's home for me. I got no one to tell me I can't have a shake.
Look how excited you are, man.
I'm so excited, man. I'm telling you.
That's great.
Hat Creek Burger Company.
Me too. Hey, a good combination and something I've done before. So I'll get Hat Creek to go. I'll come home and then I'll open up an ice cold Old Stat.
Oh.
Pretty good combination right there, right? A burger and fries and an ice cold beer.
Oh, yeah.
That's what America's all about, is it not?
USA. Like, heck yeah, man.
I feel like I need bald eagles flying around me right now.
There you go.
All this America going on. I guess I am talking about a German beer, but it is brewed here in America, brewed in the Lone Star State in Fredericksburg, right in the heart of the beautiful Central Texas Hill Country. And my beer fridge is stocked with Altstadt. I'm ready to go for the World Cup, for the College World Series, for the remainder of the NBA and Stanley Cup Finals. So much going on. And then, of course, with the sports, you also have summertime right around the corner. I'm going to be going out. You're going to be going out, spending time with friends and family, hitting the lakes, hitting the pools, grilling out. You need a great beer to accompany all of your summertime activities. My choice is Altstadt. They've got a bunch of different brews, something for every beer drinker out there, and it's easy to find, too. Grocery stores, liquor stores, your favorite watering holes, your favorite restaurants, wherever you typically get your beer, you can find Altstadt. You go through a lot in this life. Reward yourself with the best that there is. That's Altstadt beer. No impurities, no regrets.
And our good friends over at Relax the Back, they have a holistic approach for a healthier lifestyle and based on 36 years of proven expertise, folks. And I'll tell you, my back couldn't be happier. And there's a lot of things that I do, whether it's gummies or drinking a lot of water, but nothing like this chair that has saved me for years and years and years. Because eventually you got to sit on your rear end and you want to sit on something that's comfortable and it's going to protect you and give you the kind of support you need. Well, they've got that at Relax the Back. They've got a chair, they've got a mattress, they've got all kinds of accessories just for you to make yourself comfortable. They got two great locations. One is at the Hill Country Gallery across from Whole Foods, and in North Austin at the Gateway Shopping Center right across the street from the Container Store. Live pain-free like the buck at Relax the Back. Love them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And love Centex tickets, too. If you want to catch a World Cup match,
you
now know there will be a Game 5 of the NBA Finals in San Antonio. You want to go there. You want to go to the College World Series. Get my point. Any sporting event, if you want to be there in person, Centex tickets can hook you up with tickets. Plus, concerts, comedy shows, Broadway shows, music festivals. They've got it all online. Super easy to use. Log on from your phone or computer to CentexTickets.com. And you type in the promo code Centex10 when you check out. You're going to get 10% off of any ticket purchase from our friends at CentexTickets.com. You know what's coming to town this week?
What's that?
Oh, two things. Apparently, Bill Schoening is doing a concert tomorrow night.
Oh, say that again. I mean, is he hosting a concert?
You know, I'm scrolling on CentexTickets.com. And it says Bill Schoening is doing a show in San Antonio. I guess not in town. In San Antonio.
Live, playing with the guitar and everything.
Buckle up. That's what I'll
Buckle
say.
Buckle up. That's right, baby.
Also coming to Austin, Major League Pickleball this weekend.
Oh, you want to go to that? Everybody.
Centex. They got everything. CentexTickets.com has you covered. All right.
Yeah, I mean, if you're interested in going to see the Eagles at the Sphere in Vegas, they got your tickets for that, man. That is, there are all kinds of great shows in Vegas that they can get you to. With a 10% off, you're not going to beat that deal.
As a guy who once saw the Eagles at the Sphere in Vegas, I highly recommend that show. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm a huge Eagles fan. I'm not like the dude in the Big Lebowski. I'm cool with the Eagles, those Eagles. And, yeah. I mean, they put on a great show, and the Sphere is second to none in terms of concert venues that I've attended in my life. So,
wow.
I mean, I haven't been to, there's plenty, like Red Rocks is a big one in Colorado. There's plenty of huge ones that I've never been to, so I don't have the best gauge on things. But of the spots that I've been, yeah, there's nothing like the Sphere. So, yeah, Centex tickets, they've got you covered right there.
Love it.